It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. With the steady depletion of Earth's natural resources and accelerating population growth, more and more people are giving serious thought to the idea of exploring resources in outer space. But how should the process be regulated? Economics professor Dimitris Kronyu, Point Park University Chair of the Department of Global Management and Organization, has been teaching this subject for years in his special project classes for graduate students. He turns real-life global problems into outer space what-if scenarios for students to solve. He joins me in Studio A. Dimitris Kronyu, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. It's a distinct pleasure to be with you.
Explain what this course is and how you came up with this idea.
It is a fascinating class. I believe we came up with the idea probably 25, 26 years ago. It is a special topics class that the students have usually during the last part of their MBA program. After they are exposed to all aspects of finance, economic management, whatever issues you can imagine, the whole spectrum of financial and other possibilities, then we synthesize all that. We introduce the students to a special topics class. And it is something that we use as a strategic management process to integrate everything that the students had been exposed to in the past and come up with some realistic, pragmatic, hopefully extrapolations about things to do in the future.
So you came up with this idea 25 years ago or so. So that's a while back, and we were just starting to really look at the idea of colonization of space. I mean, the space shuttle program wasn't that old at the time. I mean, they were still covering the shuttle launches as though they were major news events. So you were sort of thinking ahead of the curve here a little bit.
Well, when I was working on my dissertation, that was sometime in the latter part of the 70s and early 80s, indeed they were discussing the feasibility of having the putting together the space shuttle. And at that same time, since I was preoccupied not necessarily with colonization issues, but with what I refer to as the utilization of extraterrestrial resources, I came up with an interesting concept The term that I coined was exonomics. I used something analogous to what we do in the case of biology. We have biology, we have exobiology dealing with the study of outside or extraterrestrial organisms. So in the case of economics, we're preoccupied with, as you said, economic resources, scarce resources here on our planetary environment surface. And if you change eco to exo, then exonomics, and it is a Greek word for all intents and purposes, has to do with nothing else but the proper management of extraterrestrial resources. There is a lot of that up there.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot out in space. It's vast, and we're just starting to NASA has made some recent discoveries that tell us that we're really just at the tip of the iceberg of what we can discover out there. Our guest is economics professor Dimitris Kronyu from Point Park University, and we're talking about his class, which teaches students how to deal with global problems, turning them into outer space what-if scenarios for students to solve. Certainly an outside-the-box idea. If you have a comment or question, would like to join the conversation, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. What are some of the specific kinds of international issues that are addressed here?
There is a plethora of issues, especially when it comes to resources, common resources. The class, among others, deals with property rights. So consequently, an issue may involve the following. Who is supposed to have control or ownership of similar resources? It is a dilemma that we face here also in the planetary environment. That is the reason very often, especially at the very beginning of the semester, students are exposed to the Antarctic Treaty or the Law of the Sea negotiations and everything else. And we're trying to figure out how can someone allocate or manage similar resources. We are using some interesting legal concepts. We have an interesting dichotomy. It is what we call eres nullius versus eres communis premise. Res nullius basically means, and that's a Latin term, it means that resources do not belong to anybody. Therefore, the ones who have the technology, the economic means, they can go right ahead and utilize these resources. Eres nullius is the exact, res communis is the exact opposite. And it implies that similar resources, and in this category, basically, we're also using resources from outer space, belong to the commons, the whole community of nations. This is a fascinating challenge with all kinds of political and economic spillover effects.
Right, and when it comes to resources on the Earth, we negotiate treaties, as you mentioned, the Antarctic Treaty. We sometimes go to war over resources, but generally, if it's on our turf, then it belongs to us, and we might trade something that we have an abundance of for something else that we lack that another country has an abundance of. Now, when it comes to the resources in the universe, how do you decide? How do those negotiations proceed? For example, if the United States goes to the moon, which we did, and we plant our flag, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's property of the United States, does it?
That's fascinating. We have two treaties we put together over the years. One is what has been referred to as the Outer Space Treaty that was formulated sometime around 1967. And the other is the Moon Treaty that became more known in the 1970s, 1979, I believe, to be more exact. So in there you have all kinds of articles, tenets, stipulations, defining practices, behavioral aspects of states. And there are some articles in both treaties stating that basically outer space is free for exploration by all humans. And the appropriation of natural resources in outer space is not supposed to be undertaken by an agency, any nation, or a private company alike. So that is going to be a big dilemma, especially more recently, given the fact that here in the U.S., we have two companies, one by the name of Planetary Resources, the other by the name Deep Space Industries, and one of their business goals is to, in the foreseeable future, proceed with the utilization and more specifically the mining on metals and other resources that you can find in asteroids.
Now, this is a little different than how we handle things right here on Earth. So why take the global issues that we have on Earth into outer space? How does that help us solve what's going on right here on our planet?
The historical experience that we have in dealing with the commons will be very helpful in managing the extraterrestrial resources. For example, the law of the seas, the negotiations, the deliberations, the debates, and they are still unfolding out there. The law of the seas will be used extensively when countries, spacefaring countries and communities will sit down to reflect on similar issues involving property rights, political concerns, and so on and so forth. So as part of my class, an interesting question is to visualize an entity, an organization, an institution that will be appropriate to handle similar concerns. And again, because of the magnitude of the issue, the project, the massive resources, the investment required to initiate something like that, we know that by necessity we're going to have participants from many countries. And you have to, among others, administer these people, manage these people properly so as to eventually accomplish what you wish to accomplish there in the foreseeable future.
How do you make sure that your students are actively involved in this process, that they get into it?
They love it. They are very thrilled at the very beginning. Naturally, when someone reflects on some of these issues, they find a lot of that to be outlandish. But after the first series of reading engagements and the fact that they're exposed to historical, political, economic concerns, legal treaties, they understand the validity and the gravity of this issue. And the work is excruciating, but they love it. And as a matter of fact, we're still dealing with alumni and alumni who had the class 20 or 25 years ago, and they're still talking about it.
What are some of the answers and the ideas that you get from students?
Many of these students have come from the corporate community, and they have been telling us that they are able to synthesize problems involving current concerns that they have while dealing with daily issues. And a lot of what they get from that class, which involves, as we said, strategic management ideas, futures, methodologies, forecasting, quantitative applications, are things that they can use for all kinds of business projects.
We're talking with Point Park University Chair of the Department of Global Management and Organization, Dimitris Kronyu, about a course that he has been teaching for some 25 years now, exploring resources in outer space and getting his students to think outside the box about how some of those ideas and theories can be applied to problems right here on Earth. I'm curious what other industries can be potentially utilized in outer space.
Everything from minerals to communications, as you know, to pharmaceuticals, all that will be fair game. Communication satellites have been in place for quite some time. And very often I tease my students that I tell them that one of the space resources that we have been using extensively is nothing else but the electromagnetic spectrum. And we rely extensively on the electromagnetic spectrum when we communicate between or among ourselves. So it is, therefore, a lot of minerals. Water is going to be a fascinating resource, and I am of the opinion that in the future we may also see nothing else but high-technology hydraulic civilizations unfolding in space, and mineral activities, pharmaceuticals, as we said. It's the whole potpourri of possibilities, everything that you can imagine.
So now, you might have been reading, as I'm sure others have, in the paper and on the internet, how NASA has discovered some Earth-like paradise planets, a couple, in fact, in what's called the Goldilocks zone. And this is something that's thousands of light years away, but we've discovered that there are these planets that are like Hawaii that are out there. So how does that factor into the thinking here and in terms of the maybe a scenario like the possible use of these planets for tourism?
Well, as you said, the specific planets are too far away, but space tourism is going to be a thriving industry in the foreseeable future. And,
space tourism.
Yes, space tourism will be probably the opening that will contribute extensively to the opening of the new frontier. But again, in the foreseeable future, that's going to involve visitations to nearby objects, low Earth orbit, naturally, satellites, and we're going to limit ourselves to the planetary environment before we delve into a more serious long-range generation starship saga that will involve the utilization of the exoplanets. But there is a plethora of exoplanets, plethora of possibilities and resources for the future. And I hope that as a humanity, we have the opportunity to survive, to the present challenges and move outside the closed system, the terrestrial system, because we have to, by necessity, become a space thriving civilization so as to continue with our future pursuits.
It's fun to think about. Professor Dimitris Kronyu is Point Park University Chair of the Department of Global Management and Organization, joining us to talk about his class teaching about exploring resources in outer space. Professor Kronyu, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. It was a distinct pleasure being with you. I appreciate it.
Tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh, a special hour devoted to Pittsburgh women making a difference locally and globally in the areas of healthcare and climate change. Also, contributor Elaine LaBaume offers tips on foreign travel regarding visas and health and safety precautions. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thank you for listening.